we are glad that you are here this morning. Pray that the Lord has blessed you as we have sang and worshiped the Lord this morning. If you have your scripture and you would like to share what the Lord has placed on my heart for our service today, we're going to read two different texts, one in the Old and then one in the New Testament. But we're going to begin this morning with the book of Amos. The book of Amos, chapter 8, and begin with verse number 11. Book of Amos, chapter 8, verse number 11. When you're there, say amen. So Amos chapter 8, verse number 11, and this is a prophetic word spoken by God through the prophet Amos. And the prophet spoke and said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they," talking about the people, "they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. And they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." That's a powerful word. Now turn with me, if you will, please, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. Paul says, "I charge thee," he's speaking to his protege, his understudy. He's speaking to Timothy. And he says to Timothy, "I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and in his kingdom." This is what he charged him. He said, "Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season." What does that mean? It means preach it when you can get an amen and people go, mm-hmm. And preach it when everybody just looks at you and you can't find an amen. And I've been there too. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And now listen to this. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables." But he says, "Timothy, you watch. Watch in all things and endure afflictions and do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of your ministry." And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning and pray the Lord will help me to bring those two settings of scripture together in an understandable fashion. If you would please bow your heads and let us pray once more. Heavenly Father, we are thankful this morning for the opportunity that we have to be in the house of God. We are thankful today, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we have sensed in this place. We come now to the reading of your word and the expounding of your word, and I would just simply ask that you would graciously empower me to speak as an instrument in your hand. That you would put your thoughts in my mind, your words in my mouth, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would anoint what is spoken. Help me to minister on every level where each one may understand and receive. Let Christ Jesus be glorified. Let the people of God be edified when we leave this house this morning. And for all of these things, Heavenly Father, we will be grateful throughout eternity. We ask them in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus, and everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen. So I want to title our message this morning, A Famine in the Land. A Famine in the Land. Both of our texts this morning are a startling declaration from God. The first declaration that he says there in the book of Amos, he says that there would come a time when God would no longer speak. The second revelation that we receive from the text is the text, or the second text, is a prophetic word declaring that there is coming a time when the people would no longer hear from God. But both are a famine of hearing. The first text tells us that there's coming a time when God would cease to speak. And the second text tells us that there would come a moment or a day or an hour where people would refuse to hear what has already been spoken. Does that make sense? Both are a famine of hearing. Both are a famine of hearing. In order this morning for you to grasp the context of what God was saying in the book of Amos, let me begin here today by just simply giving you some historical reference. The context of in which the text was spoken and the circumstances under which it was spoken. 750 years before Christ was ever born, a farmer by the name of Amos begins to feel a calling in his heart. God begins to put a word down in his spirit. He is a farmer. He was not raised in a prophetic school. He was not, quote unquote, a religious man. But God begins to deal with him about speaking a prophetic word over a people that had turned their back upon God. His mission would not be an easy one. He was instructed to warn the children of Israel that there was coming a judgment of God if they did not repent. How many of you know that people really do not like to have the error of their way pointed out? I have often said that the truth will either make you free or make you mad. Hello? People do not often enjoy having the error of their way pointed out to them. So Amos's job, or the calling that God was placing upon his heart, to go and tell a people who had turned their back upon God that if they did not repent, that God was going to send a judgment upon their land. Amos rises up. And he prophesies that because of your rebellion and because of your hard-hearted ways and because that you have turned your back upon God and because that you have refused to walk in the precepts of God, there is coming a famine in the land. There is coming a famine, not of bread. When we hear the word famine, we automatically think of natural substance. But God was saying there's not coming a famine of natural food, but there is coming, amen, a spiritual famine. There is coming a famine of the word. How many of you know the Bible said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4 that men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Yes, we need natural food for our body, but in order for the spirit man to thrive, we have to have the word of God, amen, living and abiding in us. It is the word of God that brings spiritual life, and that more abundantly. And without it, there is a famine in our soul. Amos prophesies that there is coming a moment when God will no longer speak, when there will be a famine of truth, a famine of the word of God. And sadly to say, the nation did not heed the call to repent. And if you are a student of the Bible, then you will recognize that everything that Amos prophesied indeed did come to pass. Between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there are approximately 400 years of silence. There was no prophetic word. There was no prophet. There was no prophetic utterance. When God said, I'm going to send, amen, a famine of hearing the truth, I'm going to send a famine of hearing the word upon the land, that did indeed come because they did not turn back to God. And so heaven was silent. And between the Old Testament and the New Testament are about 400 years of silence. There was no prophetic word. There was no prophetic utterance from God. And again, history reveals that during that time, amen, between those 400 years from the beginning to the end, during that time, Jerusalem was invaded about 27 times. You will not read that in the Word of God, but you will read it in Jewish antiquity. You will read it in the Jewish chronicles of history. Historically, you can read how that the Maccabees, who were a faithful remnant of God, tried to point the people back to God and had little success. If you continue to read in the history of that 400 year period, you will recognize that the children of Israel continue to spiral away from God further and further, moving toward an awful day when Antiochus Epiphanes would come into Jerusalem and he would slay about 40,000 Jews in one day. He would go into the second temple, Zerubbabel's temple, and he would desecrate the house of God by offering a swine upon the altar. There was no word. History records that there was, amen, that there was a time. In fact, you will read it in Malachi chapter 4 and verse number 4. Malachi 4 and 4 records the final words of God. Amen. And this is what God says in Malachi 4 and 4. Remember the law of Moses, my servant. And then there came earth-shattering silence. Nothing else spoken by God. There came a famine of the word that God had warned them about. And because they would not turn to God, destruction began to come upon them. This famine that God had declared would come did not come. It did not mean that he would withdraw his presence from the nation. It did not mean that he would cease to bless them who followed after the commandments of his word. Amen. They had the law. If they would hear and obey it, God said, I'll bless you. But what God was saying was, I have spoken. And you have refused to obey. I have called unto you, and I have cried out unto you, and you have refused to hear my word. And so I will no longer call out. I will no longer cry out. I have spoken, and you have refused to obey, and therefore I will no longer speak. And heaven was silent, and there was a famine of the word of God, a famine of truth. Beloved, the Lord began to lay upon my heart, amen, this week as I prepared for this service today, there is a spiritual parallel to that reality in the Old Testament. There is a spiritual parallel that is alive and well in our world today. There is a famine of the truth of God's word. Amen. I believe there is a spiritual application to that famine in the word, or that famine of the word, because there is a famine of truth in the world that we live in today. How many of you know in the world that we are living in today, the truth is very scarce? Hello? Amen. And there is a famine of the truth of God's word. You may be sitting here this morning and thinking, Pastor Gary, how in the world can there be a famine of truth when there is Christian television and there are churches on every corner? Amen. How could there be a famine of God's word? Hey, I came to tell you this morning that everything that is said in the name of the Lord is not the truth. Amen. I came to tell you this morning that everything that is preached and everything that is proclaimed, amen, as heard from God is not from God. Amen. While there are those that still will preach the truth, and thank God for them. Amen. There are those that will preach the truth without fear and without favor of men. I'm here to tell you this morning, there are many pulpits that are preaching a watered down word and a word that has forsaken the truth because they want to be popular and not because they want to preach the truth of the word of the living God. I came to tell you this morning, everything that is preached in the name of the Lord is not from the Lord. Amen. Paul warned them. Paul warned us. Warned them of his day. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1, Paul says these words, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly." Expressly, the Spirit is urging him to say that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. What he was saying was, in the last days, the Spirit is urging me to tell you that there are going to come some people that will stand behind the pulpits of the church of the living God and declare a lie. Amen. He said, the Spirit is urging me to tell you that not everything that's going to be spoken as from the Lord is from the Lord. There are those this morning that are preaching that material gain, that material wealth equals godliness. And the more wealthy you are, the more a sign of approval from God on your life. That's totally contrary to the word of God. Jesus said a man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things that he possesses. In other words, Jesus said, I don't measure your character by your bank account. Amen. I'm going to tell you, you can be materially blessed and materially blessed with the things of this world, but that is no, amen, that is no proof that your character is in right standing with God. I've seen it. And all I can say is, God, have mercy on their soul. I've seen it. Send me $1,000. And I'm going to send you this anointed necktie. Yeah, sold. Have you seen it? That's not God. I've seen it. They got a little bottle of water. I drilled a well in Ohio where God told me to drill a well. If you'll send me $1,000, I'll send you a bottle of water. Drink it and it'll heal you of anything. Snake oil. Hello? Amen. I'm not saying God can't do something through those things. I'm just telling you this morning that men have forsaken the truth of God's word and they're preaching a lie to fleece people. I believe that God can do miracles through things. I've had people raised from the dead from a handkerchief that was sent to them. I could stand here this morning and tell you of miracles that God did simply because somebody got a hold of one of my handkerchiefs. Amen. He said, freely you give, or freely you've received, freely give. I didn't get anything out of it, but God got the glory. Hello? Amen. We have people preaching that material gain is somehow God's approval that their character is right with God. I came to tell you this morning, you can be blessed beyond measure with the things of this world, and that is no sign that your character is right in the sight of God. Amen. Material wealth does not equal rightness or approval in the sight of the Lord. There is a famine of truth. There are those that are preaching a message of compromise. But let me remind you that Paul said that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. What do you mean, Pastor Gary? A little yeast will infect the whole loaf of bread. A little sin will affect the whole character. Hello? Amen. I'm going to tell you, don't compromise this morning. There are those that are preaching a message of law mingled with grace. Amen. And there are churches all over the United States that are doing that very thing this morning. They will beat you up one side of the head and down the other with the law of God and give you a little grace on the side. Amen. I'm here to tell you, all that they are doing is frustrating the grace of God and driving people away from the house of God. And then there are those that stand in the pulpits of our churches today and preach what I call the I'm okay, you're okay gospel. What's right for you may not be right for me, and what's right for me may not be right for you, but we are all trying to get to the same place. We may just have different ways. Baloney. Now, I've told people in the past, that's what I call Oscar Mayer theology. Baloney. Amen. What's right for you may not be right for me, and what's right for me may not be right for you. We're just all trying to get to the same place in our own way. Well, let me just remind you that Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man can come to the Father except by me. He is the way, and if we don't come his way, then there is no way. Hallelujah. And let me just tell you this morning that Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 12 says there is a way that seems right unto men, but the end of the way thereof are the ways of death. Well, there is a way that seems right unto men. And what the point is we don't line the book up with how we want to live. We line up with how the book tells us to live. Hello? Because there is a way that seems right unto men, but the end of the way thereof are the ways of death. Amen. And there are far too many people who are trying to line the word up with how they want to live. But I came to tell you this morning that we must line our life up with the way the word tells us how to live. Amen. Church, the only way that we will ever make heaven our home, the only way that we will ever walk into the city of God, and the only way that we will look upon the face of the one who gave himself itself for us is to rightly divide the word, hear the word, apply the word, and then live the word. And there is a famine of the truth in the land today. There is a famine of the truth being preached to people today. It's scarce. It's rare. When you find it, cherish it. When you find it, amen, be nourished by it. When you find it, hold on and hold fast to it. Amen. The word of God, the truth of the word of God will make you free. There's a famine of God's word in our modern culture. A famine of the truth, but there is a famine of another kind. There is a famine of truth, but there is a famine of another kind. It's just as deadly as a famine of truth. It's just as deadly, but there is a famine of hearing the word. How many of you know that for the last 2 weeks, God has not allowed me to get off of the thing about hearing the word and not just hearing it, but being a doer of it? I hate to sound like a broken record, but I'm going there again this morning. We need to not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word, applying what we hear. And there is a famine of hearing the word. A famine, not only a famine of truth, not only a famine of hearing the truth of God's word, but a famine of applying God's word. This is a unique famine because it is not caused by the absence of truth, but it is caused by the refusal to hear. It's caused by the refusal to apply. It's brought on by the refusal to walk in the truth. Listen to what Paul says there in our second text in Timothy. If you still have your Bible open, you can read it. He said, I charge you, Timothy. This is not a suggestion, not a, you know, do this if you feel like it, but I charge you. I'm giving you explicit instructions, specific marching orders. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Like I said, preach it when you can get an amen, and preach it when you can't get an amen. And then look what he says. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Reprove, rebuke. That doesn't sound like a very pleasant message. How many of you like things that talk about how God's going to bless us? They're wonderful. But that's not the whole gospel. How many of you like to hear God or preach things that, you know, just God's going to make the sun shine on your face and everything's going to come up smelling roses? Well, that's all good, but that's not the whole truth. He said, if you're going to be a minister of the gospel and you're going to be a speaker of the truth, then you're going to have to reprove. You're going to have to bring some correction. And you're going to have to rebuke a few people. I mean, you know, that's a pretty strong word. And people go, hey, you rebuke me, I'll rebuke you back. I don't like that kind of stuff. Hello? All right, stand there and rebuke me on your high and mighty apple box. No, we're called to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort, to instruct, to correct, amen, to encourage, all of those things. Amen, not just one or two of them, but all of them. I mean, you know, we all need correction at times. put me at the head of the line. Amen. God says to, amen, through Paul in the book of Hebrews, if we are not corrected of God, then we are bastards, meaning that we are fatherless. Amen. Because every child that a father loves, that father corrects and instructs and gets a hold of it and said, boy, listen to me. I brought you into this world. I'll take you out of this world. You straighten up and fly right. Hello?
Well, I have never done that to my children.
I was going to say maybe that's why they act like they do. Hello? No, every father that loves his child gets a hold of that child and says, listen, there's a few ways to act and there's a few things not to act like. This one right here is not one of them. You don't act like that. Hello? That's what God called us to do as ministers of his word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, instruct. Get a hold of some and shake them up and tell them, hey, fly right. Time to get right with the Lord. Time to get back in the saddle. Time to get things, amen, back right with God. You wandered away far enough. It's time to come home. Hallelujah. Reprove and rebuke. But listen what he says. But the time will come. We're there. Let me just tell you that right now. It ain't coming. It's here. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We see it all over our world today. You preach the truth and people go, well, you know, I don't want to line up with that. And I don't think you got to be that rigid. I don't think you have to fly that straight. Hello? He said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They won't listen to that. They'll hear it, but they'll refuse to hear it. They'll hear it, but they'll refuse to apply it. There'll be a famine of hearing, a famine of applying the word. The time will come, he said, that they're not going to endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts. How many of you know our own lusts is where we get in trouble? And after lust has conceived, James said that sin conceives in our heart. Every man is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. Every single one of us have little triggers down on the inside. I told somebody one time, I said, you know, I've never had to walk into a bank and tell myself over and over, don't rob this bank. I'm just not enticed to do that. Hello? Maybe you are. Maybe if it weren't for the grace of God, you'd be the next Bonnie and Clyde. I don't know. But I've never had to walk into Wells Fargo going, Gary, keep your hand out of your pocket, son. Don't hand the teller any notes. Nope, that's just not my trigger. But we all got them. And we are all drawn away of our own lusts. And we are enticed. And when lust conceives, it conceives sin in our spirit. And if we don't abort it, they'll become a birth. They'll be a manifestation of that lust. Amen. Listen to what he says. But after their own lusts, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, after their own lust, they'll find somebody that will just simply tickle their ears and make them feel good and make them feel like they don't have nothing to change. We see it in our world today. And they'll turn away their ears from the truth. And they'll turn to fables. As I begin to read these verses and the Lord begin to speak to my heart and begin to pour this message into my spirit, amen, the words just leaped off of the page in front of my face. Not a famine of bread, not a famine of water, but a famine of hearing the word of God. Now the first famine was a famine of truth. But the second famine is the truth being preached and people refusing to hear it. And we're there today in many circles. Even though the truth is being preached and the truth is being proclaimed, there are many that refuse to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Amen. They refuse the gospel and they refuse to hear. There is a famine of hearing. Paul warned us, for the day will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You could rewrite that to say, for the time will come when they will rewrite the doctrines of truth so that they can live after their own heart. They'll turn away their ears from the truth. And I came to tell you this morning, we are living in that day and we are living in that hour. Do you remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees? When they were confronted with the truth, they refused to accept it. And this is what Jesus said to them. You will find it in Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 15. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 15. Jesus said in the King James, "This people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and be converted, and I heal them." Now let me read to you God's word. God's word translation, Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. This is what the God's word translation says. "These people have become closed-minded, and they are hard of hearing. They have shut their eyes so that their eyes never see. Their ears never hear, their minds never understand, and they never return unto me for healing." That's our world today. Notice that Jesus said, their eyes have they shut. They're the ones that shut their eyes. They're the ones that refuse to hear. Amen. They are the ones that refused to return for his healing. What Jesus was saying was that the truth has been set before them, but they refuse to see it. They refuse to acknowledge it, and they refuse to walk in it. They will not endure sound doctrine because they are steeped in their self-will. They will not endure sound doctrine because they are steeped in their own lusts. They will not endure sound doctrine, amen, because when they are confronted with the truth, they simply refuse to hear it and refuse to acknowledge it. But when we refuse to hear it and when we refuse to acknowledge it, we cannot find life and that more abundantly in Christ. Check this out. You remember Nicodemus? Nicodemus, you'll find it in John chapter 3. Verse number 1. The Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees. His name was Nicodemus. He comes to Jesus by night. And this is what, listen to this. This is what he says to him. He said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God." What? He said, "We know that you are a teacher come from God." Well, that's not what they were publicly saying. Publicly, they were calling him a devil. Publicly, they were calling him Beelzebub. Publicly, they were condemning him. Publicly, they were scrutinizing him. But privately, he said, "We know that you are a teacher come from God, because no man could do the things that you are doing except God was with him." That has always blown my mind. If they knew that he was a teacher come from God, then why didn't they hear him? And I'll tell you why. Because it would have upset their temple worship. It would have upset their traditions. It would have upset their traditional ways. They would have had to confess that they were no longer relevant. And so privately, they knew that he was a man of God, because nobody could do the things that he was doing except God was with him. That's what Nicodemus says. Read it in John 3, 1 and 2. It says, "The same came to Jesus by night and said, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, because no man could do the miracles that you do except God was with him.'" Well, if they knew that, then why were they publicly saying he was a devil? Because they knew it, but they refused to walk in it. They knew he was a man of God. They knew that he had come from God and that his message was of God. But they refused to hear it because it would have to bring about change in them. Amen. They knew he was a man of God. They knew that he was a prophet. Amen. They knew that he was a teacher of God. And publicly, they wanted to crucify him. But privately, they knew it. And the only thing that kept them from publicly proclaiming what they knew is the fact that they refused to hear it, refused to apply it, and refused to walk in it. There was a famine of hearing. Now, let me just tell you what the Bible says about hearing. Luke chapter 8, verse number 18. Jesus said, "Take heed, therefore, how you hear." Luke chapter 9 and verse number 44. Jesus said, "Let these sayings sink down into your ears." Amen. Was he just talking about the natural ear? No, he was talking about the inner ear. He was talking about the heart. Mark 4 and 23, Jesus said, "If any man has ears to hear, let him hear." James chapter 1 and verse number 17 or verse number 19, James said, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak." Seven times in the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, we are told, amen, "If any man hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church." Amen. Let me just as important as the truth being preached is it. Just as important, we must hear and apply it. And if we just hear it and not apply it, then we are deceiving our own selves. There is a famine of hearing the truth, but there is also a famine of applying the truth. Some believers have selective hearing. Hello? I want to hear the good stuff, but I don't want none of that reprove and rebuke stuff. It's that reprove and rebuke stuff that'll correct us and straighten us out and bring blessing in our life. That's what the Word of God said. After every correction, after every spanking, then after the correction, it yields the peaceable fruits of the Spirit. After the correction, that correction has a way of bringing about a change in our heart. I can't help but think of how many times Pharaoh heard the command of God and refused to really hear it. Moses is sent by God to go stand before Pharaoh with a simple message. God said, "Let my people go." Pharaoh said, "Ain't no way, ain't no how. I ain't letting anybody go. I don't know you and I don't know your God. And ain't nobody going nowhere." God brought a judgment. Plague fell. God said, "Okay, Moses, let's try it again." Moses walks in before Pharaoh and said, "God, the God of my people, said, let my people go." Pharaoh said, "That first time was just a fluke. I'm not going to hear you, and I ain't going to hear your God." And another plague fell. Now I want you to watch what happens. Every single time Moses comes before Pharaoh, he says, "God said, let my people go." And Pharaoh kept hearing the word of God. And yet he kept refusing to apply the word of God. And his heart became harder and harder and harder. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. Amen. The truth will either set you free or make you free, or it will just simply harden your heart. Be careful when you hear the truth. Be careful when you hear the truth. Because if you don't apply the truth, what happens is your heart just becomes harder to the truth. You understand what I'm talking about? How many times have God spoken to us and tried to get us to change our ways? How many times has God spoken to us and tried to change our direction, and we heard the truth and refused to walk in the truth? How many times has God challenged us to draw near to Him in prayer, and we refuse to commit ourselves to prayer? How many times has He spoken to our hearts to separate ourselves from the things of the world, and we refuse to separate ourselves from the world, and our heart just becomes harder? We're just like Pharaoh. We're just like Pharaoh. Take heed when you hear the truth to apply it. Because when you hear the truth and do not apply it, your heart simply becomes hardened toward God. And you are on a path that leads to destruction. Proverbs 29:1. The scripture said, "He that being often reproved, hardening his neck." That hardening your neck thing just simply means refusing to apply it. "He that being often reproved hardens his neck," stiffens his neck in rebellion, and says, I don't care if it is the truth, I ain't walking in it. He said, be careful, because he will be cut off. He will be cut off and suddenly destroyed, and that without remedy. Pharaoh is that prime example. He hardened his heart every time, until finally he was destroyed in the Red Sea, pursuing something God told him he could not have. Amen. I'm going to tell you something this morning. There is a famine of the truth being preached. There is a famine of the word. But they're just as grievous. There is a famine of hearing the word. There is a famine of hearing the word. And when we hear the word and we refuse to apply the word, we are simply hardening our heart and we are putting ourselves on a path of destruction. So I tell you this morning, be careful when you hear the truth. Take heed to apply that truth. I'm going to close. A famine of the truth and a famine of hearing the truth. Amen. You pray for me this morning that God will give me truthful utterance when I stand in this pulpit. I want you to understand that of my own self, I can do nothing. I am just a mailman. I am just a paper boy. It is my responsibility to deliver the truth. You pray for me that what comes out of these lips of clay will be the inspired truth of the Word of God. And then I will ask you to not only pray for me, for truthful utterance, but I would ask you to pray for everyone around you and for your own heart, that there will not be a famine of hearing the truth. Because often, while we know the truth will make us free, often the truth just upsets our apple cart. And the reason it does is because we don't want to do that. There's something in us that says, and it's our old, ugly, sinful nature that wants to stiffen our neck and say, bless God, I am not doing that. I just came to tell you this morning, he'll break you. He'll break you. How low do you have to go before you wake up? Prodigal son had to wake up in the pig pen, but he got his attention. He'll bring you to the place where you recognize the error of your way. Don't let there be a famine of hearing in your life. Hear it and apply it. Hear it and apply it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, Jesus. Now that you have our attention, forgive us, Lord, of the error of our way. Forgive us of hardening our heart to the truth. Help us to not be a hearer of your word only, but help us to apply. Help us to hear the truth and apply the truth, that the truth may indeed make us free, that it will indeed give us life and that more abundant. Speak to our hearts this morning, I pray, Holy Spirit. I ask it in Jesus' name. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. How many of you here this morning would be willing to say, Pastor Gary, there's been a famine of hearing in my life? Oh, I heard it, but I didn't apply it. There's been a famine of hearing in my life. Yeah, God sees your hands. God sees your hands. God sees your hands. Stand to your feet, will you please, all over the building this morning. Oh, sweet Jesus. Let me pray with those that lifted their hands. Sweet Father in heaven, thank you that you love us enough that you will not let us continue in the error of our way without putting up some roadblocks. Thank you that you care enough to send your word along to our hearts, to bop us upside the head, get our attention, and cause us to desire to change. Thank you that you care enough, that you are a good father, that you do indeed reprove and rebuke and correct and instruct. Lord, forgive us of the error of our ways. Forgive us for being a forgetful hearer. Forgive us for failing to apply. And now, Lord, I would ask that you would cause that famine of hearing to be turned into an abundance of application. That you would cause that famine of hearing to be turned into an abundance of application. That our heart becomes hungry to be obedient and mindful of the Master's call. And Lord, we will fail not to praise you for it and thank you for it. In the gracious name of Jesus. In the gracious name of Jesus. We